Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
You know, there's a moment in that video just before the mother picks up that child. It was just three words that she spoke, just three words. I mean, she had been explaining how her husband and her had just basically resigned themselves, that they were going to have to live life never being able to experience the joy of being parents. I mean, she said, "We decided that's the way it was going to be." And then she said, "Till it wasn't." Until it wasn't. See, that's us, isn't it? I mean, we accept things in our lives too easily sometimes, don't we? We open the newspaper, we scroll through our Twitter account and see bad news after bad news after bad news. Or maybe we just look out the window and we just go, "Yep, it's just the way our world's going to be." And then God just whispers, "But it's not." That's not the end of the story. You know, we might think, you know, golly, after the life that I've lived, the choices that I've made, the things that I've done, I'm not ever really going to be a part of God's family. I've done too much. That's it. I'm out. I'm done. And God goes, "You're not done because I'm not done. I'm not done with your story. I'm not done with your life yet." Jesus, he came into the world at a time, folks, when people, according to the scriptures, people were living in darkness. That's how the world was explained. That's how it was described, living in darkness. I mean, think about it, the Christmas story and how Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem. Think about a government in that day. Think about all they have to do. What if you lived under that Roman government? What if you lived under such authority that they could just say, "All right, everybody up. Everybody march, go stand in line, go be counted," and you just had to do it. I mean, think about, anybody ever gone to get their driver's license or driver's license renewed, and you go to the DMV and you go, and if you're not like camping out 6 weeks in advance, you gotta just wait and wait and wait. And that can be very defeating, can it? I mean, it can ruin your whole day. But man, it wasn't defeating for everybody that was going to be counted that day. It wasn't defeated for a teenage girl in Bethlehem who was trying to just find a place to sit down. I mean, in the middle of all of the misery that was taking place, all the stress, there was a pregnant girl who knew something different. She had an inside scoop on something. She knew that there was a love inside of her that was actually incubating inside of her womb that was about to change everything. Love changes everything. Could we just take an out loud note together and make that declaration on three? One, two, three. Love changes everything. Everything about Christmas. Everything about this Christmas season. It points back to love. Everything about that video that we just watched stems from a heart filled with, take a guess, love. Love, absolutely. I mean, think back to that, the face of that lady. Couldn't you just see love dripping and beaming out of her countenance, out of her eyes? That new mother, as she's holding her baby. I mean, what a special, special Christmas gift that couple in the video must have been feeling. They experienced something fresh. They had longed to celebrate life in a new way with a child as part of their family. I mean, it's safe to say that the primary motivation of that video on adoption is rooted in love. Yeah? You know, in a room this size, I know a lot of your stories. I don't know all of your stories. But in a room this size, there very likely are several people who were connecting with that video because you were adopted. And you're going, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I get that. I get that. I get that love. I know that there's some in this room right now, and some who are part of this church that aren't here today that are exploring that option of adoption and becoming parents through adoption. Now I want you to know I'm continuing to pray for you and pray with you and walk alongside you, because as it was referenced in the video, man, it can get wearisome. It can get expensive. It can be a roller coaster of ups and downs and conversations and this, that, and the other. Man, I will never forget walking with one of the most influential men in my life. His name is Bob Johns, and walking through the adoption process that he and his wife Debbie went through many, many years ago. Bob was my youth pastor. He's still the youth pastor at my home church, First Baptist Woodway. He came there in March of 1984, and he's just figured out how to raise up students, invest in students, and just leverage about a whole gaggle of students down at Baylor University that come over to First Woodway and pour into the lives of students there. And so over the 30 years or so that he and Debbie have been investing in the lives of teenagers, and just, I mean, thousands of teenagers and their families, I was one of those that he invested in. I was one of those who was a recipient of just the way that he raised us up in so many different ways. But Bob and Debbie, as much as they cried out to the Lord, and as many students and families as they've invested in, they were never able to have children of their own. And I mean, they tried and they did all of the different things that you do, and they invested a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of prayer. But for whatever reason, God just never allowed that to be the route that they would go through to become parents. And so after several years of trying several different ways and investing all kinds of resources, they began exploring the route of adoption. And for Bob and Debbie, they had the opportunity to adopt a little baby girl from China. And man, I mean, I was invested in the youth group then. I was one of Bob's interns at that time. And man, our youth group was praying for them and praying for that little baby, whoever that little baby would be, that they would adopt. And I mean, we prayed for months and months and months. And then the word came back from the Chinese government that everything was official, and that the baby that they were going to adopt had been selected, and they had been granted the rights. She was actually left as a newborn baby on the steps of an orphanage in China. Her name, her Chinese name, was Ma Su Si. Ma Su Si. Oh man, it just grips me to think about it. And Bob and I are getting ready to lead a senior high retreat. And Bob gets a call that, hey, you're gonna, if you'll be by a fax machine late this afternoon, the Chinese government has released a little bitty picture that we can fax to you. Remember those fax machines that, like, when they go off, it's like, and then this real flimsy paper comes up. That's what we're waiting on. And we're waiting on that little picture to come through the fax machine. And we get to talk. And we're the only two people standing in our church lobby at the time. And we're there in the offices and we're talking. And we just got off on something. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to lose it. Bob picks up this paper and he turns it over and he sees his little girl, and we lost it. I mean, we're two big burly men losing it. Thank goodness nobody else was around like today. Just lose it in there. And we're standing in the office lobby just weeping. Why? Why were we weeping? One word. Love. Love. The primary motive behind the adoption of their little girl from China was love. And they named her Hannah Macy. Ma Su Si. Hannah Macy Johns.
Hannah Macy Johns. Hannah now is a sophomore at Baylor, and man, I mean, her whole life has been changed by adoption, an adoption fueled by love. And I'm telling you, when Bob and Debbie adopted Hannah from that Chinese orphanage, Hannah was given a whole new life fueled by love. And folks, what God gave us at Christmas was not just the gift of His Son. What God gave us at Christmas was an opportunity to have a whole new life through the adoption that's rooted in, take a guess, love. Rooted in love. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, because I want you to see something in 1 John. It's on page 1022 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. I mean, we're going to see that the same is true of God. The same is true of God. The primary motive behind the gifts of Christmas that come from the hand of our Heavenly Father is love. It's the primary motive of all the gifts He gives us. It's love. Love, I'm telling you, it certainly is at the forefront of the gift of Christmas called adoption, as people become a part of God's family. Man, I encourage you, if you're going to memorize one verse over this Christmas season, memorize this one right here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I told you when we started this series that we've been hiding baby Jesus. If you were here, do you remember that? If not, it's online. You can go see it. And we've taken baby Jesus out of our nativity scene, and he's been hiding in my office, and on Christmas Eve, we're bringing him back. Why did we do that? Because every night when we sit down, we want to be reminded, hey, it's about Jesus. And if he's missing, it doesn't really matter. And so we're going to bring baby Jesus back on Christmas Eve, and I'm telling you, we're starting with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, because this is the primary motive behind why God sent His one Son, His only begotten Son named Jesus. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh man, I'm telling you, in this verse right here, in this verse, John overtly tells us that God has given us the great gift of being His kids because of His great love for us. The original language, it's really interesting when you kind of dig in and study the original language. The original language of that verse not only communicates this as a fact that we become God's kids, but it also demands something of us. It demands that we just take a deep and a joyful look at how much God loves us, because He loves us big time. I mean, that's what I want us to do in our remaining moments this morning, is just to be reminded of this deep love that God has for us. Because as we light the candle of Advent, the fourth candle, it represents peace. And here's the deal. We've lit the other three that remind us of hope and of love and of joy. And today we're reminded of peace this Advent season. And you go, what does peace have to do with love and a family? Think about this. You see, now that we're a part of God's family, if we've put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and we become adopted by God as our Father to be one of His kids, that we are now a part of God's family. And as His children, there is just this cause for enthusiastic outward celebration that's coupled with an inner peace. Why do we have this inner peace? Because we're secure in a family. God's always designed family to be a place of security. And where there is security, you will find peace. And all that's happening because God's primary motive for us is love. His primary gift through His Son, this adoption for us is all rooted in love. See, peace, folks, is a byproduct that comes from belonging in a secure family that's based on unconditional and unwavering and time-tested love. Deep love. Love like only God can truly demonstrate and offer as a gift. And we have the option and the opportunity to receive that gift. I mean, as John begins his gospel account, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to show you some places in scripture on the screen. I encourage you to jot them down and look at them this week. But as John in his gospel is sharing about the beginning of the Savior's work on earth, he shares about the relational benefits that come with all who receive this gift of Christmas. Check out what it says in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It says this: "But to all who did receive him, who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he's a great gift giver. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of whom? God. Born of God." I mean, John is referencing something here. John is referencing the great gift that's based on love that God has given to us, and it's called adoption. Although John doesn't specifically write the word adoption, it's there. It's all around it. We see it in other places in Scripture. The Apostle Paul writes about adoption as a metaphor multiple times if you read through his writings in the New Testament. The word for adoption in the Greek language is huiothesia. Try saying that five times real fast. Huiothesia. The word is used to illustrate the Christian's change of relational status as now being a part of the family of God when huiothesia happens. When adoption happens, your status changes. Like permanently on Facebook, it changes forever. You change your status. Some of y'all just go and just write up on your Facebook today: "Status is changing. I need to type it in. It's huiothesia." People are going to go, "What?" And then you can talk with them about what that means. It means being part of the family of God. It means being one of God's kids now. Hey, kids, draw me a picture of what you think the family of God looks like. If they were all sitting around God's table at Christmas time for lunch or dinner, what do you think God's family looks like? What do you think God's family looks like if they were all gathered around Christmas lunch? Draw me a picture and put it on my board. I want to see what you think God's family looks like if they're all sitting around the table. Some of you kind of are thinking about your Christmas table, or maybe you thought about, maybe you did Thanksgiving recently and you kind of got together with family. Now you're about to get together with more family, or the other side of the family, or they're all coming together. And have you ever had that time, that moment when you're kind of sitting around and you're looking at everybody going, I must really be adopted. I mean, these people around here are crazy. Am I the only sane one around here? Anybody ever had that experience? I've never had that experience. Not at all. But maybe you have. I don't know. Here's a newsflash for you and for me. In God's family, we're all adopted. In God's family, if you're sitting at God's table, it's because He chose you and signed the paperwork. Said, "You're mine. Huiothesia. You're my kid. You're my kid." Man, in God's family, we're all adopted. We're all adopted into love. We're all adopted into grace. And our byproduct is peace, and it's hope, and it's joy, and it's rooted in love. Praise be to God. The first time, if you're reading through Scripture, first time we see Paul's term adopted, huiothesia, is in his letter that he wrote to the church in Rome. You might want to flip back to the left, Romans chapter 8. I'll show you where he writes it. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. If you haven't read Romans 8 in a while, man, that's a great one to camp out in. Romans chapter 8, in verses 14 through 17, Paul's writing, and here's what he says about adoption. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery." He didn't give you that gift. You didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, check this out, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided something, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Man, Paul, in these verses, Paul's reminding the Christians at Rome that when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, when a person puts his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and then receives the Holy Spirit into his or her life, that person has been the recipient of the gift of adoption into the family of God. And not only has our status changed as a son or a daughter of the King, what the Scripture says is that all of a sudden we got written into the will. We've become an heir to all that God has. It's a mikasa e sukasa kind of a thing. And you've got the run of the house. And everything that's in God's fridge, that's yours too. That's good news. That's really, really good news. And women, I'm telling you, adoption changes everything in our lives in a really good way, both now and forevermore, because God chose to do it. And He chose you. And He's invited you to choose Him back and put your faith, hope, and trust in Him if you've never done that before. Man, I hope you do that this day, this Christmas. I love the scene, the mother in the video. She talks about reading that little Advent verse with the double chocolate that day from Isaiah 61, verse 1, that she found in that Advent calendar. And it just says, God has chosen me. That's part of what she just came to terms with her. God has chosen me. And maybe you could just let that wash over you and go, God has chosen us. And then maybe you just ask this question, chosen us for what? What's He chosen us for again? Adoption. He picked you. He picked me to be His kid. Huiosthesia. Adoption. We're His adopted ones. And then you ask, now, wait a minute. Why did He choose us? It's because He loves you. He is so crazy in love with you that He sent His own Son to make sure you were able to be adopted. Incredible, incredible. And because he wants us to be a part of something that He has planned for us as His adopted kids, His chosen ones. You go, what does He have planned for us? Well, if you keep reading Isaiah 61:1, it's this, to encourage the poor and to help the brokenhearted. And you're going, I didn't want that for Christmas. No, but He does. He wants you to cut somebody else in on the adoption. He wants you to bless somebody else. He wants you to share that incredible gift that He's given to each of us. If you've received that, folks, you're a part of the family of God. That's who we are. This is who God's family is meant to be. This is what it means to be a child of God who has a place at the table with the rest of the family. You see, where there's God, where there's Jesus, there's always family. And these incredible gifts that we've been given, our dad in heaven wants us to share them with others who haven't yet felt like they belong. You know, even though there's suffering and there's difficulty that remains,
to be experienced, even if you're a part of the family of God. That's a result of the sin in this world, the brokenness that's in this world. As Shelley sang a moment ago, man, there's a day that is coming. Because he's coming back. The Advent's happening again. The second Advent, the second arrival is on the way. And man, I'm telling you, when that day happens, our adoption status and all the benefits that come with it kick up to a new level. It's going to be awesome. It's going to prove incredibly beneficial. Paul goes on to write about it a bit later in Romans chapter 8. Going down to Romans 8, 22 to 25, here's what Paul continues writing in verse 22. In verse 6, it says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly." Anybody just been through a season, they're just groaning inwardly? Yeah, you're normal. Paul says that would happen. There's going to be seasons of groaning. Groaning inwardly. As we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, for the redemption of our bodies. Anybody looking forward to a new body? Mm-hmm. My body looks a little bit different today than it did the day that Hannah's little face rolled off the fax machine. There's a day coming. I could probably help what it looks like today, but there's a day coming. It's all going to be different. The redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we're saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Man, anybody just really ready to tear open some presents on Christmas morning? You got to wait for it with what? Patience. Patience. Same thing with our adoption. We got to wait for the fullness of it to be experienced. Paul's saying that although we already are part of the family of God, because we've been adoption, we still wait for the full measure of how all that adoption is really going to affect us. And man, when Christ returns one day at that second advent, our bodies and our lives no longer will be affected by the sin of this world, the brokenness, the pain of this world. Our adoption status is going to kick our experience into a whole nother level because we're heirs with Christ. That's what the scripture says. And we won't suffer anymore. We'll just enjoy all of the goodness that God has for us as his kids. On that day, it's going to be a great day to be adopted as his kid, to just walk into that with all the full benefits of being a part of his family. Paul goes on, he talks about the blessings and the benefits and the gifts from God to his children in another letter that he wrote. It's in another part of the Bible. It's Ephesians. If you want to flip over there, I'll show you. You can flip back to the right to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, an amazing verse, chapter of scripture in Ephesians 1, the first part of this letter that Paul's writing. He utilizes the first two verses just to say hello, salutations, greetings. And then Paul goes through like the next 11 verses. I'm not going to read them all. I just want to show you a couple of things. The next 11 verses, Paul just goes into what God has done through Jesus on our behalf as being part of the adopted family. This is great. Beginning in verse 3, this is so cool. Ephesians 1, verse 3, I mean, he just starts listing off what the Heavenly Father has given us as his adopted children. And he writes these profound words about our great giving God. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed," say that next word with me, "us." That's you. That's me. That's us. He's blessed us with which blessings? Every single one, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Would you just say wow on three with me? One, two, three. Wow. Now say it with an exclamation point on three. One, two, three. Wow. I mean, every spiritual blessing is yours and mine if we've been adopted. See, in other words,
We just see in Scripture, once again, what a great gift giver our Heavenly Father truly, truly is. God knows how to give good gifts to His kids. And then Paul just writes about the love of God and how the love of God is just poured over all of His kids. And it's not something that was just happenstance. It wasn't something God just kind of went, I don't have anything else to do. I guess I'll love people. No, man, I mean, His plan to adopt us as His kids was an intentional plan, a very deliberate plan, overflowing with love. Bob and Debbie, think about it. Isn't that just the way that an adoption would take place? They didn't go, well, we've been trying for kids for a long time. Let's go to China and just see if we can find a kid there. No, there was a very intentional and deliberate plan to rescue her. Baby girls in China aren't welcomed. And they went to rescue her out of darkness. And God came to rescue us out of darkness. That's what the Scripture says. That's why your life sometimes just feels so dark, broken, and busted up. It's because we're living in a dark, busted, and broken up world that hasn't experienced the second advent yet. But man, when that day comes, you want to be one of His adopted kids. I'm telling you, an incredible, incredible day. And God has an adoption plan for you. And if you haven't experienced it, oh man, I pray you experience the rescue. I'd love to help you with that if you haven't yet. But man, you may just feel unwelcome. You may feel unwanted in your circumstances in life right now. And I'm telling you, God says, come here. I want you. I want you to have a place at my table. You've got a place in my family if you'll step into that. And God wants to take us all into His family. Anybody know people that like stray dog comes and it's just like, oh, now I've got to have that one. And you just end up like 16 stray dogs. We're not a stray dog. You are made in the image of God, and He wants you as His own. You've got a place at the table. God wants us all because He loves us. He chooses us. He chooses to love us. Listen as Paul goes on to write in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. I'm not making this up. Look what it says here. Even as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for what? Adoption. That's always been His plan. He predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the beloved. Oh, man. He chose us. He chose you. Let that sink in. Your name's written on that gift of adoption. It didn't just say world. It said your name. You. It's just powerful. And it takes my breath away. Can I show you one more place in Scripture? Because it's just kind of taking my breath away. Thinking about Jesus, thinking about Masusi. Flip to Galatians 4, I'll show you something. It's an incredible Christmas passage. You go, Galatians? We haven't read that one under the tree. Mom and Dad, read Galatians 4 under the tree. Why? Because it's all about Christmas. Look what it says in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive what? Adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Man. In those verses, Paul basically described the why and the when of Christmas. It was when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, to redeem the world, to redeem us, to adopt us as His own. And folks, when we receive that gift of adoption that came on that first Christmas, and we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and ask Him to forgive us of our sin and to make us one of His kids, you know what we have? Peace. And we experience joy that gives us hope, and all of it's rooted in love. The only reason we get to love God is because He loved us first. And His primary motive for adopting us was love. My family and I, we went to go see Annie. Anybody seen that movie? She gets adopted at the end. I just sat there yesterday and I thought, ooh. Jamie Foxx's character, primary motive wasn't love. It was something else. It turned to love. Spoiler alert. God's one true motive and only motive has always been love. Maybe you're sitting there going, that's not the family I grew up in. I didn't feel that kind of love growing up. Well, maybe you can connect with something that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 27, verse 10. Look what it says, Psalm 27, verse 10. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That's adoption language. And He's inviting you to have a place at His table, regardless of what kind of imperfect, whacked out, crazy family you're a part of. He said, you can be a part of my family. I'll adopt you. I'll adopt you. Because I love you. I choose you. I choose you. And some of you are going, how do I get in on that? It's as easy as ABC. You don't even have a lot of forms to check out and write on and send off to the government. If you need something to write on, take that little commitment card. On the back of it, it says, I'd like information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You can tick that little box, put your name on it, and let's have a conversation. I'm in the office Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. I'd love to have a conversation with you. You go, how do you do it? ABC. A, you admit He's the Savior, you're the sinner. B, you believe. Believe what? Everything that scripture says about Jesus is true. What does it say? That He's God and you're not. That He died on a cross to forgive you and me of our sins, that we might be adopted into the family of God. You believe that. What's the C? You call on Him. Call on His name. Jesus, would you forgive me? Father in heaven, would you make me your kid? Would you adopt me? Romans chapter 10 says, every person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's really, really, really good news. Maybe this is the first time in a long time you're going, man, I've really got a good deal here, being part of His kid. Yeah. Yeah. Live life this Christmas. Live life in this new year, praising Him and paying Him homage, giving Him homage. Freshen up your status and live in that.
He's given you everything. Make sure you cut somebody else in on that deal. Maybe this Christmas, you want to make a commitment together as your family just to begin blessing other people in this Christmas season, in the new year. I love a story I heard. We had an overabundance of cupcakes at the birthday party for Jesus last week. I think Sam's messed up an order or something, and Sarah Eagle just said, well, I'm taking these down to the assisted living home, and I mean just brought Christmas cheer in for everybody. And maybe you could just begin thinking differently about others. How can you bless others this year? Maybe it's getting involved in one of our strategic mission partnerships. Maybe it's blessing an international student through our international students partnership that we have. In next month, I'm scheduled right now, if things continue to go, to baptize a young lady who's here from Taiwan. Through the international partnership that we have, I had the opportunity last week to meet her and to talk about that next step. And she's like, yeah, and that's supposed to happen this morning, but I got an email. Hey, I want some of my friends to be there. I'm like, awesome. Cut somebody else in on the deal. Cut somebody else in on the deal. And maybe for you, you're going, God's been pressing my heart differently this morning. And yeah, I'm adopted into God's family, but maybe you need to explore adopting a child and rescuing a kid. And I'd love to walk alongside you this year and pray about that with you, help you in any way I can. Maybe God's been pressing on your heart differently, going, I don't really want to take that step to adopt a child to live in my house, but God's been pressing on me to help finance somebody else to do so. There's no telling how God may call you to be a part of sharing his deep love with somebody else in this world that needs to know him. And adoption may be a gift that he wants you to be a part of helping somebody else to experience. How are you going to celebrate this gift of Christmas called adoption this year? However you choose to celebrate this gift, do it with a heart that's full of love. If you do that, you'll start looking a whole lot like your Father in heaven.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.